This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Once again, Pittsburgh is the point of the candidates' visits, and that will continue here in just around the southwestern Pennsylvania region. Yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris laid out her economic plan at Carnegie Mellon University in front of some economic minds there.
Yeah. The Economic Club, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Pittsburgh's Economic Club. CMU, important location to do that. The proposals that she outlined, still pretty broadly, but she's talking about some pretty big numbers. For example, building 3 million new homes and rentals for what she calls the middle class. How do they define that, I wonder? They want American innovation investment, fewer delays in building infrastructure, things along that line.
And you can imagine they'll break down every line, every word, everything.
Well, everything will be parsed to the nth degree, right? Yeah.
She also has a plan to offer $6,000 in tax breaks for new families. And I think, you know, this would be to increase the federal tax deduction for small business tenfold from $5,000 to $50,000. And, you know, there's a lot of detail.
So here's what she said about that particular one. Oops, hold on just a minute here. I'm listening to it, but you're not. There we go.
More than 100 million Americans will get a middle-class tax break. That includes $6,000 for new parents.
And here's another comment that she made.
Let's be ambitious. Our ambitious goal of 25 million new small business applications by the end of my first term.
So we'll have a little bit of a dissection of that coming up. John Delano, political analyst, and he deals a lot with economics.
Generally speaking, what I hear coming out of the sound clips that have coalesced after this speech is tax breaks and tax credits seem to dominate the agenda, seem to be the what she'll be fueling it with.
Well, at least, and hopefully we can talk about issues between here and the election more. Just lay out what your plan is and everyone will analyze it then, you know, for each of the platform issues. So that's one. Helene, this is something kind of crept in the Gulf quietly at first as a tropical storm, but the possibility of it becoming a catastrophic Category 4 storm in the Gulf of Mexico has had for the last several days. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declaring a state of emergency. Joe Biden also following up with a state of emergency declaration. And Helene's impact expected to be felt far beyond where it makes landfall in Florida, including big cities like Atlanta, the Carolinas, the mountains of North Carolina even. And I don't have to tell you, Atlanta has the busiest airport in the world. So there'll be a lot of flight disruptions because of the connections that go through Atlanta.
And Larry, not only that, but also the flights that were supposed to go to Atlanta that have been canceled.
Right.
Because, right? Now, listen to this little sidebar on Helene. This thing went by Mexico's Cancun resorts, and one of the reports is the beach is gone.
Gone.
That's the word they're using. Wow.
Yeah.
So Cancun took a direct hit. Looks like it.
This will be the third hurricane, and I believe they said 18 months in that region. So this, the Gulf is getting hammered. And
storm surge in that last story, they said it could reach as high as 20 feet in the Big Bend area. My goodness.
I mean, that's unimaginable. These people have been asked to evacuate, but some, you know, as always, don't. So you're on your own if you do stay. Meanwhile, a lot of people in this area have friends, family, maybe second places or condos or vacation in these areas. And we'll watch this very closely over the next couple of days. I guess the only upside is it's a fast-moving storm, so it will not sit in one area and continue to dump like 20 inches of rain like we've heard in some of these storms.
Yeah, we're thinking about a landfall sometime tonight. By early in the morning tomorrow, like around 1 a.m. tomorrow, it'll be down to a hurricane-level storm in southeastern Georgia, heading up toward Atlanta. And then it's a depression as it reaches Tennessee and Kentucky. And it's going to hover over Tennessee and Kentucky, looks like for the better part of 2 days, as a depression.
There's another story, I think, that'll be on the minds of many, and that is Heather Like, former athletic director of the University of Pittsburgh, relieved from her duties 16 days ago, has a new job. She's been named acting president and chief executive officer of the FBS Athletics Directors Association, which represents athletic directors of FBS's 130 member schools.
What does FBS stand for?
Well, that's the FCS is, you know, Pitt, all the schools that are in there, FBS are all those other second tier schools.
Okay.
in terms of athletics.
Like Division I, Division II, only just different.
Correct.
Okay. Well, how about that? It didn't take long for her to find work.
No, well, look at Heather Like and look at what's going on at Pitt right now in athletics. You've got the number one ranked volleyball team in the country. You've got the number one men's soccer team in the country. That's never happened before, where they have two number one teams ranked at the same time. You've got a football team that's won four games that hasn't happened for 24 years.
That's right.
You've got this Victory Heights construction project that's going up all around the Peterson Event Center and the area on campus.
That's one you can't miss.
And she's hired many of the coaches that have brought these, you know, so her resume is strong. Now, the fact that she was dismissed for whatever reason has nothing to do with the fact that right now Pitt Athletics is killing it. Mm. And you got to give her a lot of credit.
Well, certainly not. I think that it has more to do with the changing financial circumstances of college sports. And the chancellor's idea was is they wanted to bring in someone who is more attuned to that than building the athletic department. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, to downplay what Heather Like did or to say that the money raising and the fundraising is the most important thing, but they go hand in hand now in college athletics, sadly.
So I think that's going to be a subject of conversation for a lot of people, too.
I mean, it's coming down to, and I mean, look at the retirements recently. Like, I'll give Nick Saban as a perfect example of this. And he made some comments about name, image, and license money for the players. And now you've got, as a college coach, you've got to be able to heap money on the pile. It's not just, you know,
and
the athletic department.
All schools that have the ability to do that would be Alabama.
Wow.
But Saban just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
He didn't have to.
He's actually, yeah. I love the fact that Nick Saban and Bill Belichick are doing analysis now.
Oh.
Because they're really smart.
By the way, I read an article this morning that linked his name to a possible coaching chains in Jacksonville. They're 0-3 after spending a ton of money on free agents. Expectations were high. Doug Peterson, a former Super Bowl winning coach in Philadelphia, has had some success. Now they're talking about, at least in this one article, that Belichick could come back.
Yeah, now Doug Peterson was a quarterback in the NFL, a Super Bowl coach, head coach, and now they want to throw him to the Sharks off the coast of Jacksonville. But I love the fact that you can hear Bill Belichick was such an enigma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wearing his ratty hoodie and with always the demure
cut off sleeves.
Yeah, snap face.
Right.
I don't do that social media stuff. Now, he's on with Pat McAfee, the Plum graduate who kicked at West Virginia and Indianapolis, who's probably the hottest thing on television in sports.
Absolutely.
His show and then his podcast started this.
He was so big on YouTube that ESPN came to him and said, will you be on our, and then handed him a big stack of money to do it.
And him, and I love when he's sitting next to Nick Saban on College Football Game Day. But he asked Bill Belichick, I got Steeler fans would love this.
That's a real deal in Pittsburgh. They had no idea if either quarterback was going to work. They see Justin Fields work and they're like, it's all we needed. That's literally all we needed. Hopes are very high over there, coach.
Well, everybody's worried about the Pittsburgh quarterback situation. They might have the best one in the league.
How about that?
I love it.
That's Bill Belichick.
By the way, if you haven't heard yet, check out what McAfee had to say about the Pirates and
Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, wow. He tore into him.
Mercifully, this thing will be over the weekend for them.
Yeah.
And they have to go to New York to play the Yankees.
That's how they're finishing the season. Oh, ouch.
Good God. It's that time where they're opening up all these haunted places. They have the whole list in the Weekender magazine section of the Post-Gazette. Erin, do you ever go to these haunted houses or haunted hay rides?
Oh, yeah. I went to a haunted hay ride and then a haunted maze in D.C. That was insane. But haunted hay rides are also, being in a hayride is also, it's kind of worse because you can't go anywhere.
Can't get out.
No.
They have one, and it's up north in Butler County, just north of Cranberry. Paul, this is maybe put this on your list. They have, it's a wagon, okay, like a hayride wagon, and at each seat is a machine gun.
What?
What the?
No, but it's.
No, I'm thinking to myself, now maybe this is something I'd be interested in. Maybe they're going to have like a bar on wheels, you know, and we're going to have a couple of cocktails while we look at the nice fall foliage. But a machine gun? What in the heck is wrong with this?
Paintball machine guns.
Oh, wow.
And so
those are painful too.
What they do
absolutely
is
right.
They ride out into the cornfield and they shoot zombies.
Oh, boy.
So there's.
Who are the zombies?
Well, they're, you know, paid actors.
Oh, people are getting paid to get hit with paintballs.
Yeah, they get, or staff people.
You know,
hello. He's like, they signed up for
this
it, okay?
Just keeps getting stranger. And this is in Butler County.
Oh, yeah. I forget. I wish I could tell you. Just like Children of the Corn, something. but I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, let's see. There's one in Three River Paintball Park. This is where guests shoot glow-in-the-dark paintballs at zombies. There's one from Battle Wagons at Zombies of the Corn at Three Rivers Paintball. That's it.
Zombies of the Corn.
Zombies.
It sounds like some kind of a weird rock song from way back.
What?
And they put a whole list together.
Oh, Riders on the Storm. That's why it's rattling
zombies
around.
Zombies on the... Yeah.
Zombies
in the corn. So they have Phantom Fall Fest at Kennywood. Then they've listed all these places. I mean, it's a long list of, if you'd like to get scared, you know what? May I recommend the Haunted Port-a-John? Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Yesterday, as you may have been aware or just heard in the newscast with Mr. Paul, Vice President Kamala Harris laid out her economic agenda at Carnegie Mellon University. And joining us from KDKA-TV, political analyst, and he knows a little bit about money, too, John Delano. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Good morning, Paul. Always good to be with you guys.
Yeah, before we get into the takeaways, just we continue to be the focus of the candidates coming here and around just the immediate region. It's absolutely extraordinary.
It truly is. When you think about it, Kamala Harris has been running for president for, what, 2 months? A little over 2 months? This is her eighth visit to Pennsylvania, fourth time to Pittsburgh. And, of course, former President Trump was up in Indiana, PA, and he's coming back a week from Saturday to Butler. I mean, it's the attention is all on Pennsylvania. And I might add, unusually, in many cases, it's on Western Pennsylvania. Unusually in the sense that most candidates, when they start to campaign in Pennsylvania, spend a lot of their time in Philadelphia. But I think there's an appreciation that as we go, so goes the state of Pennsylvania. And as Pennsylvania goes, so goes the White House. So a lot of attention on us, and hey, I like it.
Yeah, it actually makes for interesting fodder for us, no doubt. So Kamala Harris spoke for about 40 minutes in front of a crowd of an invite-only 400 supporters, a theater at Carnegie Mellon University, talking to the Economic Club. So right. What are some of the highlight takeaways that you were able to dissect?
Well, there were a number. First of all, it was more specific and in some ways than people often accuse her of not being specific. But she was pretty specific with respect to a variety of tax credits and capital gains and grocery price gouging and small business tax credits, child tax credits. I mean, there's a whole lot of specifics you can get into. My overall impression, first of all, that it was a fairly typical Kamala Harris address, using a lot of the same lines that she's used before. Secondly, though, she's been posing and her campaign has been posing this question to Pennsylvanians and to Americans generally. Who do you think will best represent your economic interests in the White House? A billionaire or somebody who grew up in the middle class, who worked for McDonald's, whose mother couldn't afford to buy a house until she was a teenager? I mean, she, meaning her, the daughters were teenagers. I mean, that's kind of the basic question in an overall sense that she's arguing. And I spoke yesterday. I had the opportunity to interview Lara Trump, who is the daughter-in-law of the former president.
Right.
And she dismisses the whole notion. We put some of this on TV last night. She dismisses the whole notion that it matters whether you're a billionaire or not. But I think that's a fundamental question that people will resolve in their own minds as to who they think would best represent their economic issues. The focus itself was really, in terms of the issues, were 3 points, tax breaks and price gouging legislation, investing in companies and manufacturing companies, high-tech companies, to create more jobs, and cutting red tape for businesses, that she believes that it's important to cut red tape. She says she's a capitalist, uses the word, and that she wants to make it easier for companies. So we can get into some of those specifics if you want. But the bottom line overall is that I thought it was a pretty good address. And, you know, given that she's acknowledging, like everybody else, that the economy is the number one issue, and on that issue, Donald Trump leads by a few points, although she's doing much, much better than she did a month or so ago.
John, what stands out to me this morning is this capitalist pitch that you just mentioned about boosting the economy. She's talking about things that are both pro-business and also pro-middle class.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I might add, without stepping one iota of an inch away from unions, because there was a lot in here about pro-unions. I'm going to go visit every IBEW hall. That's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I mean, she believes very strongly that the building trades in particular will benefit by the proposals that she's making, and that you can do this. You can be pro-union and pro-capitalist at the same time.
How much of this do you think, now that there is a platform with some details to at least dissect, will resonate with people?
Well, I think right now, I think 90%, 95% of folks know exactly how they're going to vote. So what we're talking about is, how do you persuade those who are truly undecided, and at the same time encourage those who may not be inclined to vote, why they might have a stake in coming out and voting for one candidate or the other. That's the kind of the focus as we go into the last six weeks of this campaign. And I think that the question there is, do any of these specifics ring true? If you've got children, a $6,000 child tax credit sounds pretty good. Does that appeal to you? Would that get you to come out and vote for Kamala Harris if you weren't otherwise on her team? You know, you look at some of the specific stuff of this, does it resonate with a very small group of people that is not otherwise with her or hasn't made up their minds? And the same thing would be true on President Trump's side when he talks about tariffs and energy, drill, baby, drill, things like that. The question of, do any of these resonate again with people in the middle, because I really do believe most people know exactly how they're going to vote.
So, John, I think you're saying something really important here, though. You're talking about the people who are undecided, but that even bigger group of people who may not participate. Now, yes, a $6,000 child tax credit, that would motivate someone.
It just might. So might a $25,000 grant to buy a new home. I mean, that's another one of her policies. Now, mind you, whether she can get any of this implemented in the Congress will depend on whether she has a Democratic Congress or a Republican Congress. And so those races down ballot are important on that score. But, yeah, I mean, this is all about who you get out to vote, because on that issue will depend the victor of this campaign.
And, man, I appreciate your time, John, this morning. And I think a lot of us are interested, at very least, on Tuesday's debate between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, and see how that goes. Not that that necessarily might swing people, but it, from an entertainment standpoint, there's a lot of people just curious. Well, thank you, John. Look for John.
That's going to be great and very entertaining on CBS.
Yes, on CBS, KDK
on
TV.
On CBS, right.
And we're going to air it in its entirety. In the Gulf of Mexico, let's go to AccuWeather's headquarters and meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
This looks like it's going to push up into a monster storm category. What is the latest on Helene?
Pressure is steadily falling, 966 millibar, latest recon. So it's been a steady drop. And there's still some things that make it look a little ragged in appearance, but usually what happens when the pressure gets to be that low, it takes a little while, but the wind field eventually responds. So we expect those winds to steadily increase throughout the day today. It's going over warm waters. There's low wind shear. There's not a lot of dry air. There's some, but this is still likely to become a Category 3 storm at some point later today before it makes landfall, probably around 10 p.m. tonight in the Big Bend area of Florida.
Joe, looking at the potential rainfall map here from the National Hurricane Center, I see that it's the mountains of western North Carolina that could get the most rain. A lot.
They could. And, you know, part of the reason for that is that they're already getting some rain right now. And then you have an upslope component to the wind. And so you're going to be sending that tropical moisture violently upward, and they could just wring out the water. My boy just moved down to Asheville a couple of months ago to work for a company down there. And I told him, I said, be prepared for a tremendous amount of flooding and widespread power outages, because there could be some 60 to 70 mile per hour winds, even that far north, even that far inland.
And here, we're not expected to feel any remnants of it?
Well, we're going to be on the northern fringe of it. The fact that this thing is going to come barreling inland so fast, it will move up into Georgia. And
this show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's going to fling its moisture northward toward a frontal boundary that's trying to come down from the north today. That front falls apart, so our air mass remains warm and humid, but its presence will be a focal point for that moisture from Helene to climb up and over. That's why I think we've got some showers in the forecast for tomorrow, and probably off and on showers even into the weekend, even though Helene will degenerate and become a shell of itself somewhere in Kentucky and Tennessee as we go into the weekend.
John, one other question about the timing of this storm. I know that it's offshore now, expected to arrive sometime, tonight?
I think 10 p.m. is what we're projecting landfall right now. East of Apalachicola, probably south of Tallahassee when it makes landfall.
Joe, appreciate the update. Thank you. I hope your son's okay down there in
Tennessee. I hope so.
All right, partner. Appreciate it. Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather headquarters. Puts on a great show. Caller number 7. Does that work for you, Aaron?
That works for me.
I know you get very nervous when you hear the phone ring. Coming up in our next hour, we got a lot to cover this morning. We'll continue to follow this storm, too, because so many people in this area, Paul, as you know, have a connection to Florida, either a vacation spot, relatives, people who have retired there.
You do? I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just about everybody I know has somebody in Florida, I think. And because of the number of these storms, what I hear from people who have homes there is just the cost of insurance alone because of this have skyrocketed. And I wonder, because you said something that resonated with me yesterday about your insurance rates have gone up.
50%, yeah.
50%. Why? For what reason? And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they're trying to make up for what they've lost, you know, spread it out, so to speak. And we're really helping pay for that stuff, too. Yeah. Just a thought.
We should find out. We should ask some questions.
It's a great, we will follow up
Let's find an expert and see what
Richard
they think.
With Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, we continue to follow this, what is developing into a monster storm, Helene, in the Gulf of Mexico. You pointed out when you see it on radar, the area of red, you know, we're used to seeing that counterclockwise circulation. It basically fills the Gulf of Mexico as it moves north towards what they call the Big Bend, where the Florida Panhandle is. And it's going to disrupt flights, already has. So if you, even if you don't have a flight in that direction, because Atlanta will be eventually affected too, the largest or the busiest airport in the world, a lot of flights go either through there or destined, you know, in some way, shape, or form, it could mess up your plans.
So just one example would be Tampa to Atlanta. Nothing can go from Tampa because the airport is closed. I don't know how many flights a day you're talking about, but it's got to be dozens.
Well, that's a busy airport, too. So expect it around 10 o'clock tonight to make landfall in the area. And you're familiar, as I am, with Florida. You lived in Jacksonville. How many years?
About seven.
No, well, it's long enough to know.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in West Palm Beach when I got into radio out of college. For about a year and a half, we didn't have any major storms then. They seem to be more frequent. We're seeing that. And the Gulf is seeing more storms than even they normally do.
The last year I was in Jacksonville when we had like a whole bunch of hurricanes was 2004. It was a lot. And I've been visiting Florida since the late 80s. Friends of mine in Jupiter, Tequesta, which is near West Palm Beach. And then over in Port Charlotte on the other side of the peninsula. So I would say that I've gotten a pretty good look at Florida over the years. Haven't been back in a couple, but they've been really drilled and drilled hard. And this one, Helene, is going to go in. It's going to go ashore just south of Tallahassee. And it could be quite a mess left in Tallahassee. They've shut down all the universities. I'm sure they've told people to clear out.
So we'll keep you posted on Helene. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris' visit continues to make news. We have details on that and reaction to her economic plan rolled out yesterday at CMU, as you heard with Paul at the top of this hour. Also, another school district dealing with remote learning because of threats, but Highland School District has been able to at least identify the person they think is responsible.
Yeah, they have. This was the threat that was made on Tuesday, Larry. There's been two this week. The person that they've identified with the Tuesday hoax is under 18. They'll be charged in juvenile court. So this is going to be a criminal case. And then they're back on a remote schedule again today because last night there was another unfounded threat that the police will now have to figure out where it came from.
Yeah, and they're really trying to figure this out. So we know in Westmoreland County, the district attorney there is trying to come up with a plan to deal with this, but it's so disruptive to the teachers, students, parents, everybody involved.
One idea that I heard laid out was have student assemblies and show people pictures of or have the people who make these hoax bomb threats come forward and apologize to the student body. So everyone there can see what happens, right?
Yeah, because
you know, who wants to be hauled up in front of all your students, you know, your fellow classmates to make an apology for something you shouldn't have done?
Yeah, a lot of it's just so easy now with social media. And then what happens is they're asking the kids, don't resend anything that you see like that. Tell us about it.
Oh, you mean like forwarding it?
Yeah, they're resending it to other, oh, look at this. And they'll send it to a bunch of their friends and it spreads like wildfire. Anyway, you know what Marty Griffin's doing tonight?
There's no telling.
He's going to see Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, that's going to be a good show.
PPG Paints Arena.
One funny man.
Well, did you ever see him in a movie? He was in a few movies. The Green Book.
The Green Book, yep.
The Irishman.
The Irishman. I like that one a lot.
Bookie. And then he did the one with Robert De Niro as his father. About My Father. And I've never seen him live, but I've watched some of his stuff.
You've played a clip of his before where he's in the grocery checkout line.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
They gave up on us. They said, you do it. Yeah, I'm gonna share a little clip. You could use a little laugh. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. And I know where Marty's going, Aaron, tonight. Probably doesn't want people to know. But I'm going to, you know,
tell
Marty's
him anyway.
Not shy. If I told Marty, don't say anything, of course, you know, Marty would say it.
Yep.
He's going to Sebastian Maniscalco tonight at PPG Paints Arena. So he texted me the other night. He goes, how long is that show? I'm thinking to myself, well, how do I know? Does he have anyone that, you know, is going to do stand up before him?
Right.
Yeah, actually, he has two guys. How long is that going to last? So it's kind of funny.
He needs you to clock it for him.
Now, do you know who Sebastian Maniscalco is?
I do. I really haven't had the chance to see him yet, but my husband saw him the night before our wedding.
Oh, yeah, because mm-hmm. He's been to Pittsburgh. He sold out to Benedum. He sold it. Now he's at PPG Paints Arena again.
Yep.
And the show's at 7:30. I think still a few tickets left, but when I first got interested in Sebastian Maniscalco, I actually interviewed him twice. And the first time, I didn't really know who he was. They just said, hey, there's this comedian coming to Pittsburgh. You want to talk to him? I'm like, yeah.
What a shock that must have been. You're like, this guy's hilarious.
Well, to that point, he talks about everyday things. And his dad is an Italian immigrant. They're mm-hmm. from the Chicago area. And he has a wife that's maybe opposite. He's more outgoing. Let's just say that. She's a little more laid back.
Right.
So you got this Roman Catholic Italian American from Chicago, and he's married to a Jewish woman. It's funny. He talks about the food, the difference. Mm-hmm. The first time he went to the family house, he's thinking to himself, where's the bread?
Marty said yesterday that he's like an actual talent, and he really is. He like has the gift, actually, of making people laugh. Like some comedians maybe have to warm up to that and being good at stand-up, but he's just naturally so gifted.
That said, have you ever had to take your car? You have a friend, you said, you and your husband, Vinny, that fixes stuff when it's related to mechanical.
Yes.
Have you ever had to go to a body shop?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Harry talks about something his wife did to his car. Now he's got to get it fixed. Sebastian Maniscalco.
I got to go to a body shop. You ever go there? Man, they're waiting for you to pull in. What are you going to do, fix it in your garage? You do body work? I know nobody that does this. I got to go in. You go to a body shop, everybody comes out. The whole garage. When you pull in, there's got a guy that, hey, we got one. Let's take a look at it. And they swarm the car. They just, I thought I was at a Cirque du Soleil show. And they call out the head guy. It's the best actor they got. Frankie, you want to take a look at this? As soon as he sees the car, he's like, whoa. Would you get sideswiped by a semi? I said, no, my wife calls this a graze. She says you could get it out with some carnauba wax. I can't open the door, but she says this is a $9 job. with some carnauba wax. I can't yell or scream at the house. I have to suppress all my emotion and feeling into my feet, and I don't know who I am anymore. But she just says it's a graze. I don't understand why she didn't see anything. We have sensors and a camera in the vehicle. But of course, I could mention that in the heat of the moment, or I'd be sleeping outside on the lawn. So if you could just get out your wax and buff that out, that would be fantastic.
Was that on his like Netflix feature? Doesn't he have a little?
Yeah, but one of the things that I really enjoyed with Sebastian Maniscalco was talking about when people come to the door now, company.
I was sitting in my house a couple weeks ago, just relaxing. My doorbell rang. This is weird. It's a different feeling when your doorbell rings today opposed to 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago, your doorbell rang. That was a happy moment in your house. It's called company. Be sitting there on a Thursday night watching TV. Your doorbell rang. The whole family shot off the couch. Oh my God! Put the lights on. Somebody's here. We got people. The whole family went to the door. The kids were in socks. They slid up to the door. Nobody looked to see who it was. Right, you just opened up the door. You were like, oh my God, look at that. Look at us here. And you'd ask them, what the hell are you doing here? And the person would be like, I was in the neighborhood. I thought I might stop by, see how the kids are doing. They're like, oh, come on in. We're gonna have some cake. Your mother had a little Entenmann's. Be some Sara Lee crumble cake. Just in case company came over. She made an announcement when she bought it. She's like, listen, nobody touch this cake. This is for company only. Those crap muffins, those are for you people.
He is so funny. Oh, my goodness.
Man, I wish I was going.
Me too.
Marty will be sitting on stage, you know, because he has good contacts everywhere.
I could just hear his mother saying, I don't sound like that.
He just makes a text and people, you know, Marty, I'm a little envious. But, you know, the good Dr. Mike Hutchinson of Animal General. He is up in the Cranberry area right there in LaSalle Plaza. And this morning, via video on the radio, you can see Doc at kdkradio.com. He's sporting his Pirates hat. Final home game of the year, Doc, is today at PNC. Are you going?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I have to work, but I hope they win.
Yeah, you're a sports fan, just like us.
Yes, I am.
Hopefully they'll figure it out for next year. But in the meantime, we got answers. You've got answers. We've got questions from your fans. Jeremy in Monroeville wants to know, Dr. Mike, my 8-year-old 72-pound dog has started limping off and on. Should I be concerned, and when is it time to see a vet?
You know, if they're limping off and on, just check their pads very carefully in between the toes as well. Make sure they didn't step on something, if they have a crack down there or a cut. Sometimes you'll find little growths down there that could be causing the pain. But around 7 years old, 8 years old, I start thinking about arthritis. That's about the age, is, you know, for the especially the larger dog, 72 pounds, where they start to show signs of arthritis, slow getting up. They have to warm up, then they warm out of it. And those are the typical things. I mean, cancer, bone cancer, and neurologic issues, you usually see them stumbling. With bone cancer, they're very painful. You touch them, they hurt. So I always say it's good to get a diagnosis. Make sure it's not something like Lyme disease that's causing them to limp occasionally. Very simple things that we can find out. But that's very typical as they get older. So sometimes we start the weight control and we start some maybe nutraceuticals, things to help the pain.
Dr. Mike, Sarah in Carnegie's asking about something that I've experienced with both of my dogs previously and wants to know, what are the signs that the dog might have a urinary tract infection and how you can prevent them in the future?
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of people seem to have those issues. It's a, well, the classic sign is they're frequently going to the bathroom and they're staying there. And sometimes it looks like they're straining and not a lot's coming out, or they're staying in one place a long time, or they're going very small amounts all over the place. Strong odor. If you put a paper towel over it, you see blood. That's obviously a sign of an infection. And then the behavioral changes. They start acting differently. They move around. They drink excessively. They start drinking more water. So those kinds of things are typical signs of the UTI, urinary tract infection. If they get them, or how to prevent them, just make sure they have a good balanced diet. There's a lot of urinary health diets and lots of water, you know, plenty of hydration, and make sure they get frequent chances to go out to the bathroom. You know, making it or holding it too long can lead to urinary tract infections as well. So those would be typical ways to prevent it.
Brett in Bethel Park wants to know, Dr. Mike, what's the best way to prevent my dog from getting worms? And how do I know if they have them? I love this question because, you know, nobody wants to talk about those parasites, but you.
I know. Leave it to the vet, you know, to start describing them. But obviously, if you see them, you know, if they go to the bathroom and you see things that might look like rice or I'm not supposed to say food, but spaghetti. Hopefully nobody's eating that for breakfast.
Understood.
Right. And then if they're, you believe it or not, we talk about scooting all the time being anal gland impactions, but once in a while that's pinworms or some kind of worm. So tapeworms, things like that. So scooting could be a sign. I always tell people, you know, take a fecal sample in. If you have any questions, we can find that very easily. We look for the eggs. And then prevention, the monthly preventives we use for heartworm disease contain products that take care of roundworms and hookworms. Most of them, like HeartGuard, take care of heartworms, hookworms, roundworms, and then Interceptor, you add whipworms to that too. So a lot of times you're giving a prevention every month. And I do recommend those because dogs always have their nose on the ground, sniffing the wildlife and the, you know, the droppings. So it's just a good idea to help prevent those worms.
Doc, we have a bonus question. Pam and Apollo. At first, can you tell us what PRP is?
Yes, platelet-rich plasma. That's your platelets or clotting factors. You get a cut, they go there and they rush and they cut it, but they're like a balloon. They spill out a whole bunch of growth factors and things that are great for healing. They start the whole cascade of healing.
Will they be able to use PRP for a kidney disease for a 14-year-old pug?
I don't think that PRP is going, it wouldn't hurt, but I don't think it's going to help that. They've done a lot of work with stem cells, which is our regenerative cells, repair cells for kidney disease, but I don't think the PRP by itself is going to be enough. There might be some studies on it. I'm not sure. I haven't seen any, but platelet-rich plasma is more for starting that cascade of healing, and then the stem cells are for repair. That would be something more directed, and then of course, a kidney transplant is the other option that many people, I have only seen done once in my career. So many people can't afford it and they don't have the right sibling to have a donated kidney. So I wish I could give you better information on that.
Doc, always great to catch up with you. Have a good weekend.
You too. It's my pleasure.
The good Dr. You Mike Hutchinson, Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. Our weekly visit is now concluded. All right, please resume your normal. We have an update now to Hurricane Helene, Paul.
Wow, this is a fast-growing hurricane, overnight up to a Category 2. When we got it to work this morning, it was up to Category 1. So this is the warmest, according to David Parkinson at CBS, the warmest water on the planet right now is in the Gulf of Mexico. And that only does what? Fuels these storms and makes them bigger.
Right. It's literally an energy source. And that's why the heated waters provide chance for these storms to grow. This is a monster storm.
It is. It is. And what they're thinking now is that the storm surge could reach 20 feet along the Florida coast south of Tallahassee. They've been told to leave. Mandatory evacuations now in 15 Florida counties. States of emergency have been posted in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. And they're warning, the officials are warning, that this could be the worst storm in Tallahassee's history.
We'll continue to follow. That's the latest and the update from South Florida. Now, in Washington, on Capitol Hill, a very important hearing.
Oh, the House task force that's been looking into the assassination attempt is holding a hearing today. This is the committee that's chaired by Congressman Mike Kelly of Butler County.
And KDKTV's Jennifer Barrasso is there on Capitol Hill.
We've learned a lot from whistleblower reports to yesterday's scathing Senate report. This morning, in just a couple of hours, the House task force investigating the attempted assassination against former President Donald Trump, digging into answers about the security failures at the Trump rally on July 13th.
The witness list includes Butler County's Emergency Services Unit Commander, a Butler Township Police Officer, a Pennsylvania State Police Lieutenant, a former U.S. Secret Service Agent, and the Allegheny County Medical Examiner.
I told them they need to post the guys here.
The Butler Township Police Officer is the person who was captured on body camera video, fuming that he warned the Secret Service days before the rally to secure the AGIRA building where the shooter, Thomas Crooks, got on top of, firing 8 shots that hit former President Trump, killed Corey Comparator, and critically injured James Copenhaver and David Dutch. The Secret Service has acknowledged mistakes.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
With communication, equipment, and decision-making before and during the rally. A bipartisan Senate committee report released yesterday called it a perfect storm of a stunning failure.
This morning's congressional hearing starts at 9:30 on Capitol Hill. Jennifer Barrasso, KDKA-TV News.
And one of the stunning takeaways yesterday from that interim Senate report, Paul, was the comment, when asked, why didn't you warn the Secret Service when Donald Trump was on the stage 2 minutes before the shooting? He said
it didn't cross his mind. Really unfortunate revelation that we're going to probably hear some things we don't want to hear today, too.
That's the latest, and we'll keep you posted as the candidates continue to come to Pittsburgh and surrounding areas.
And a play action fake, and Holstein is going to zig and zag and get to the goal line. Touchdown, Panthers! Eli Holstein, a rushing touchdown. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is his first of this 2024 season.
And it wasn't even his last for that game against Youngstown State. Seems like it was a long time ago. Panthers on a bye week. And the voice of the Panthers in his 51st season with football, the great Bill Hillgrove, joins us via video. You can see Bill, kdkradio.com. You look wide awake, Bill. And
don't trust appearances, okay?
Let's talk about quarterback Eli Holstein for the Panthers. Fourth week in a row, the ACC recognizes him as Rookie of the Week. I don't know that I've ever heard of a single freshman player who is recognized 4 times in a row from any school here in the ACC. That's pretty incredible.
It's been a while, Larry. I think we almost have to go back to the days of number 13 to even replicate that. But, of course, in those days, Pitt was in a different conference, and it was, the world was different. So, yeah, this is new stuff. And, what I like about the kid is the fact that he makes good decisions. He makes them quickly, and usually they're the right decision. And that combination, combined with his arm and feet talent, it could be deadly, and it has been so far for the opposition.
The Panthers have not been 4-0 in 24 years. With a bye week this weekend, they begin ACC play going to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to take on the Tar Heels, who lost 70-50 last week. Sounded like a basketball score. So the Panthers have surprised a lot of people around the country. They're talking about Eli Holstein and the Panthers in places where we didn't think they would right now, Bill.
Yes, and I think that's all positive things. I think this team, and I saw it in preseason at training camp, they have a resolve. They're going to prove that last year was a fluke, and already they have more wins than they did the entire season. And I know coaches don't want to hear bowl talk, but, you know, just think about it. Two more wins, and they're bowl eligible, which they weren't even close to last year. So that's a big step forward.
Bill, I'm looking at the 2024 ACC preseason poll. Number one ranked, Florida State. Ha! And Pitt was 13th on this list. They don't know what they're talking about back then, did they?
Well, you know, such are the nature of predicting the future. And I know it's interesting now. And believe me, at least three of the coaches in front of Pat Narduzzi are on hot seats right now, including the Florida State coach. And Mack Brown, which a lot of people didn't see this coming. So it's been interesting. But, hey, teams can change. There's still a lot of football left. And I think I like the approach that Narduzzi takes one at a time. You go 1-0 every week, and you can have a pretty darn good season.
And we'll see what happens as they move into ACC play again. They're on a bye week, so that'll be next Saturday with a noon kickoff, which we love on the road, Bill, right? And by the way,
yes, we do.
ACC named the Panthers the team of the week for the second time in 4 weeks, too. I want to switch gears to the Steelers. First and foremost, it was really great because the Steelers recognized Bill for his 30 years as the play-by-play voice for the black and gold. Bill was there in stadium with your terrible towel waving. What was that experience like to go to a game and not be calling the game?
It was different, that's for sure. But my role has changed. I'm a fan now, and I yell at the TV, and I yell at the field, and you know, I can say words that I never said on the radio before. It's different, but it's been fun so far, and they've been a fun team to watch. You know, they're doing what they have to do to win. And I know people are trying to say, well, is Justin Fields the quarterback? Well, he's done a great job. But I don't think that story has written itself yet. And I think as we go through the season, you're going to see maybe other developments. But in the meantime, ride that horse and let him lead you to another victory. If they start 4-0, people will go, I didn't see this coming. And very few fans did.
Bill, enjoy your off weekend. You get the full boat there. Are you enjoying time at the lake?
As a matter of fact, Larry, I am. And at one of the establishments up there, they're going to have a Bill Hillgrove Steelers retirement party. So we'll enjoy that for sure as we watch them beat the Colts.
Is that a public event or a private event?
Oh, no, it's a public event. And as a matter of fact, Tom Bailey, the party in Panther, is going to bring his Hillgrove for President sign. And so I'm going to enter the political arena on Sunday.
Oh, that's beautiful. So what's the name of this place up at Conneaut?
It's called the Pelican Landing 2.
And when is
and,
this?
Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Beautiful.
Nice one till question mark.
That's okay. We celebrate you, Bill. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch you next week getting ready for ACC play with the Panthers.
Thank you, gentlemen. H2P.
Bill Hillgrove, Pitt Hall of Famer on the Big K Morning Show. Every Thursday at this time, we check in with Christy Graver. There she is via video on your radio. You can see on our live stream at kdkradio.com. In the dark, you look like you're ready for one of those ghoulish weekends. Christy is the food editor with Pittsburgh Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. We're going to start with talking about something brilliant and vibrant, and that is fall foliage. I had heard mixed reviews, like because it was so hot this summer and there was sort of a drought, that would affect the leaf peeping. Are you a leaf peeper?
I am. I love it. And I drove out to Evan City this weekend to go to their annual pumpkin fest to try to channel the autumnal spirits. But it was 90 degrees and humid. And, you know, they had a big like 30-foot inflatable pumpkin. And even that really couldn't put me in the mood. So I'll try again this weekend. Now it's like a little dark and stormy. But we have a story on our website that will help you track leaf changes throughout the country. So this is your sign to leaf town.
Ah, I got you. Read all about it. Now, one of the stories that caught my attention, apparently caught a lot of people's attention, was a groom in a wedding wore a jacket made of Heinz ketchup packages.
This guy's name is Heinz Lee, and he used Heinz ketchup in his wedding proposal, and so he invited Heinz to his wedding on September 14th. So Heinz, the company, gifted Heinz the groom a packet jacket that was designed by artist Ethan Chan, the self-proclaimed sauce packet king of the Midwest. I didn't know that was a thing. So the groom donned the jacket and made from hundreds of ketchup packets for his ceremony to his bride, Michelle. His groomsmen also carried containers of Heinz brand ketchup during the celebration. So if your name is Heinz and you're getting married, the company says to DM them and you could be wearing red on your wedding day.
I wonder if that'll be really valuable someday, since you had an artist attached to designing it.
I'm sure. Like, what do you do with it after? I mean, just like you preserve a wedding dress, I'd probably wear that every day.
Wear it every Halloween. Meanwhile, you have tips for us for Kennywood's Phantom Fall Fest, which is really popular and one of the many October ghoulish things you can do.
Yeah, I love this time of year, obviously. So Kennywood's Phantom Fall Fest is the largest single site haunted experience in town, and that means a full night. But you should plan ahead. There's lots to do. And if you pick the wrong night or the wrong tickets, you'll get fewer shrieks for your buck, as my coworker Sean said. So we both went to Kennywood Fright Nights on Sunday night. We ran into each other. And so he has a preview of what you can expect. And I did a preview of the food that's available. It's called the Open Body Buffet.
Nice.
And it's like meatloaf shaped like feet. It's pretty awesome. I wouldn't recommend riding the Black Widow after you dine there, though. You'll get sick.
What about the potato patch fries? I assume they're still available during
Right. Yes. Nice. And like, I don't know how you pass that up, but they do have, now that they don't have like the ice cream cones that are kind of like square, because they ran out of like the ice cream cone. So now they have cheesecake on a stick, which is actually quite delicious. So I hope they stick with that. But yeah, Kennywood's a really totally different experience this time of year, and you should check it out. It's super spooky.
Since you're really into this month, are there any other places that you frequent or would recommend for people that love to do the haunted house thing?
Well, I love 100 Acres Manor. And on Friday, I'm actually going down to the Strip District to go to the Chipped Fang. It's a mocktail vampire experience. So I don't really know what that means, but I'll let you know next week.
Is that on Penn Avenue in the Strip?
Yes. It's through Bold Escape Rooms. So the people that run Scarehouse. So.
Well, have a frightful weekend, and we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you.
Okay, Larry. Thank you.
Read all about it. Pittsburgh Magazine food editor Christy Graber on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show and our first full week of autumn. You know, getting into all those festivals this weekend and yesterday. I was checking out Pittsburgh Today Live on KDK-TV. I saw that Heather and David were on the Gateway Clipper fleet with a bunch of people. And I looked over and it's like, oh, it's time for the KD Turkey Fund already. And joining me is, no, not the turkey, an executive vice president, market manager for PNC Bank's Greater Pennsylvania Markets, James Ballouris. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are we doing today?
Seems like we were just talking turkey the other day, and here we are, and it's officially been kicked off on the Gateway Clipper yesterday.
Yep, we had a huge crowd. The weather wasn't cooperating, but we got inside, and the enthusiasm was higher than ever. I told them we're going to need a bigger boat. but the folks came out, and, you know, this year, just like the past years, the need is as great as ever. So we're looking forward to, you know, getting the excitement here in the Pittsburgh area. And as Pittsburghers always do, they come through.
And so there are many ways now that people can help. And let's start with what they can do and what you at PNC Bank are doing to help.
So we're going to continue what we've been doing over the last 15 years, and that is if you come into any one of our PNC branches and make a donation of $50 or more, we're going to match that donation. So we're going to multiply the effect up to $75,000. Last year we raised about $850,000. I'm looking this year to get up to $1 million. You know, I know it is an election year, and a lot of people are on different sides, but one of the things I'd like people to just unify and say, there is no reason why people in the Pittsburgh area should ever go hungry. There are a lot of kids as well as seniors who make choices every day of whether or what they're going to eat. So we can make a big dent in that, by all of us participating and voting with our pocketbooks. And no matter if you can get to the $50, that's great. We're going to match it. If you can't, $10, $20. Our branches are open to serve. The tellers will be there to take your deposit into the Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank account, and that money will go to help all people here in Western Pennsylvania have a warm dinner on the table for the Thanksgiving time as well into the holidays.
And there's something new. We're with Jim Bloris of PNC that I didn't realize existed, that there's a food assistance call line for Southwestern Pennsylvania, 211. You can just dial 211 from your phone or visit 211.org to access the help online. And this is something that I wasn't aware of, but this demonstrates the need in our region, Jim.
Absolutely. I mean, like Larry was saying, it's the first week of autumn. You know, the leaves are changing. The temperatures are going to get a little bit colder. People hopefully get to shut off their air conditioners. And we don't have to turn on the heat, hopefully, until November 1st. But you never know, right? When the heat goes on, the gas bill goes higher. And that causes people to have to decide, am I going to heat the house, pay for my medication, or put food on the table? And that should not be in this country that we live in this great city of Pittsburgh, when lots of us have more than we can, you know, consume. Let's give a little bit so that all can have, you know, the food. Because, you know, with the children, too, is, you know, if they don't eat in the morning or they don't eat in the evening, then they don't pay attention in school, and then it causes other issues. So it's a trickle effect all over the community, and we should be able to eradicate this if we all stick together and we pitch in, which I know all Pittsburghers do. People come through no matter how much we ask and take care of our own.
Jim, as always, we appreciate your passion and PNC's contributions. Here we go, and we'll talk again along the way.
Larry, I appreciate the time, and thank you, everyone. Stay safe.
You got it. Jim Bloris, PNC Bank. Jim has actually been a friend a long time. He's Executive Vice President and Market Manager for PNC Bank's Greater Pennsylvania region, and he's a great family man. Actually, a heck of a basketball coach, too. And he's got a tremendous family, and he really sincerely loves this opportunity to help. We hope you can, too, with the KD Turkey Fund. And, Paul, there's an event this weekend just brought to our attention. I know it's the Richard S. Caligiuri City of Pittsburgh Great Race Weekend. However, this is big, too.
Well, I think they're trying to upstage this this other event. On Saturday in Lawrenceville, and we just found out from our intern, Margo, who was pointing this out just a few minutes ago, The Pittsburgh Parallel Parking Championship will be taking place between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
I want to see this.
Oh, wow. What a fun deal, huh?
Well, wait a minute. Don't they have some cars that have the technology to be able to parallel park?
Yeah. Those people are cheaters. I have a friend who's got that pilot parking or something they call it. It's the feature. And it's like he likes to drive. He drives a manual. I said, why do you chicken out and go with the automation when you could?
You know what? We're so slow to change sometimes in our region, and especially giving up control of the wheel to let the computer on board parallel park your car. So where is this happening?
Okay, so this is in the this is up at the Busy Beaver on Plumber Street. Here's the deal. It's the fourth annual one. It's free, open to anybody with a driver's license. It takes 10 minutes to complete it. You don't even need to register. Just pull up to the Busy Beaver on Plumber Street. It's the 4700 block. A volunteer will register you, and then you get to test your righteous parallel parking skills and see if you can take home the engraved trophy. Is that not cool or what?
You know, parallel parking did me in. I failed my first driver's test because I hit the curb.
I wonder how many people have for that very same reason.
I should sign up. I'm like a phenomenal parallel parker. Phenomenal.
What's the prize you said?
The prize is an engraved trophy.
Oh, wow. You got that going for you. And a chair you could stick in the spot so that it's still there when you get back to
the
parallel park.
The famous part. But they've been doing this for 4 years in Lawrenceville, and I just found out about it. I think this is the kind of thing that makes us so great. Where else would you have a parking championship?
Did you know that when I hit the curb parallel parking with a state trooper sitting next to me, I knocked his hat off? That was
what in the world?
Wow. That was an indication.
How fast were you going?
I looked at him.
You were whipping
like,
it too hard.
I gave him the look like, you're not going to fail me for that, are you?
You know, you know what? You should have put a little Pee Wee Herman and said, I meant that.
He gave me that R. Lee Ermey, remember from?
Oh, yeah. Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah. He gave me that look, and then he didn't say anything in the moment, but it felt like this.
Spoken to. The last thing out of your filthy sewer assembly, sir. Understand.
Sir, yes, sir.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's kind of how it went. That'll be a side chapter in the book I'll never write, how I knocked a state trooper's hat off during a driver's license test.
An emotionally traumatic memory from Larry Richard.
Sad, but true. All right, a once living artifact of the fabled Woodstock concert in 1969 is no more.
By the time we got to Woodstock, we were half of it is gone.
The 100-year-old maple tree was in danger of falling down, so it has been removed. It became famous at the three-day concert in Bethel, New York, that drew hundreds of thousands and a major cultural monument to peace and love in the violent and unsettling late 1960s. It was pre-cell phone, and posting scraps of paper with messages on the tree was an effective way to communicate. The tree is in almost every wide picture of the stage from the hillside. The museum at Bethel Woods is seeking proposals to create works of art using the salvageable wood. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
And to talk to somebody who put a message on the tree recently,
I don't remember
from the I'm Larry Richard. Appreciate you being with us. We got a big weekend in the Berg, and that's all because the Richard S. Caligiuri City of Pittsburgh Great Race is here. And it looks like overall, I think, since we've had some really, really hot days in the upper 80s, I think the runners will be happy with the weather pattern we have here for the weekend. And we're going to be checking in with the race director here in just a moment and get all the details you need for the great race. One question I have, is it too late? If you decided, now, if you're going to run in the great race, I assume you have to run into this. In other words, this isn't something, unless you're a runner every day, that you can decide to do at the last minute. But it is the 47th annual, and there's a series of events really, it started last weekend. They had out at Pittsburgh International Airport, they had set up a chance where, among all, I thought this was really cool how they do it, running on the runway. Well, without the planes there, of course. So we're going to get the director on here in just a second. Aaron is dialing him up. And are you ready? No, you can't locate him. Talk to us, Aaron, on the radio.
No, I can't. Unfortunately, he was on the VMix, so we're just trying to get a hold of him.
All right. So they got a 10K and a 5K. Have you ever run in one?
I haven't. It's something that I'd like to do, but I haven't.
Yeah, running is hard. Fast walking. What, David Ballerano.
What about slow jogging?
Newsman was the slow jog. It looks like he's doing everything in slow motion. All right. In the meantime, we'll track down Brian. He was there and disappeared off our video.
He did. I saw his face, and then he faded into the galaxy somewhere.
Is he all right?
I hope so.
All right. Meantime, what else is going on? We're going to be following this storm in Florida. I mean, I know you hear storms, and unless you feel it's directly affecting you here, but there's so many contact for family and friends and this storm looks like it's going to be a monster. So we'll continue to bring you the latest. Now, that storm, he was there?
He's back again. Okay, we're ready.
Are we ready now? Brian, are you
there?
We're
ready.
I'm here if you guys can hear me all right.
We can hear you. Yeah. Can I see him? There he is. Oh, you're in your car. That's cheating.
Lots going on. Lots going on these couple of days, so I'm trying to squeeze things in where I can for you guys.
No, I appreciate it. We just wanted to get the rundown for the festivities this weekend for the great race. So when people ask you, hey, Brian, what do I need to know?
Well, you need to know you're in for a good time. We obviously have a long weekend of activities for everybody and the whole family included, starting with the Dollar Bank Junior Great Race on Saturday. Kids as young as, you know, as a crawling age, as long as you can crawl 20 feet, you can participate, up to kids 12 years in age and family members to do the family fun run down at the Dollar Bank Junior Great Race, which leads us right into Sunday for our 5K and 10K presented by Highmark. 5K starts in Oakland, as it traditionally does, and the 10K in first. And you can run or walk either event. You can sign up through Sunday still and through the weekend and enjoy the city from a different vantage point and join about 10,000 of your friends and family on the journey.
I was just going to ask about 10,000 people participating.
Mm-hmm.
47th annual. And I would imagine, based on the fact that last weekend we had temperatures in the upper 80s and sunny conditions, that runners are going to be a little happier with the weather pattern set up for this weekend.
Yeah, we hope so. Fall should be creeping in a little bit, which we've been waiting to happen. And it should be good running weather, a little warmer towards the end. So just be prepared for that. But conditions overall should be pretty favorable.
Is it too late if someone even last minute wanted to register, or is it done?
No, you can register through Sunday morning. And they'll take care of you down at the finish line area where you can get your bib and your t-shirt and your things like that and hop on one of our shuttle buses and head out to the start lines and get going.
Ryan, appreciate you squeezing us in. Good luck this weekend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You got it. Race director, we have Brian Katz with us and Andy Lindberg, who heads up our digital team. You are the team. Are you running in this?
No, my hips don't let me run anymore.
Sure.
But I used to run the Great Race all the time. And it's one of my favorite. It was one of my favorite races, something I looked forward to every single year just because of the atmosphere when you're at the starting line and everyone's in their garbage bags, especially if it was a cold morning to stay warm, kind of rip the garbage bag off and throw it. A little behind the scenes, you know, people run into the woods to take care of last minute business before.
What?
Before.
This is something Marty needs to know.
And then, they stay hidden. And then the course is great. And when I used to run, it would normally be on a Steeler Sunday down Three River Stadium. This is how long ago I was running it. But they would have people handing out water, you know. And then there would be a little intersection right before you got on the Boulevard of the Allies where they're handing out beer. So that found I found that to be just completely. I was already struggling. I didn't think. Well, of course, I was.
You need to load up on carbohydrates.
Maybe
right?
You just run down to the point, and then you ferry over to the Steeler game if it's a home game.
No, it's not.
Yeah, not this week.
They're in Indy.
Great course, great view of the city, a unique perspective. If you've driven on these roads, but to get to run on it is kind of, you get to take it all in.
So you got a second? I want to ask you about John Czochowski.
Sure.
Coming up, Andy Lindberg with me on News Radio KDKA. Andy Lindberg from our digital team, former producer of this very show, and he helped launch, at least put a lot of marketing behind Odd, Mysterious, and Fascinating Pittsburgh. John Czochowski is the founder, and man, we've really come to appreciate his work over the years. And a lot of that's thanks to you to bringing him to our attention. So it's been what, almost 10 years now?
Well, he just celebrated his 10th anniversary, I believe, earlier this month, and next year around springtime is when we'll mark his 10th anniversary of appearing with us for the first time.
He is one of those people that's so passionate about what he does in discovering all these incredible things in Pittsburgh's history. And you talk about doom scrolling. In this case, it's the opposite. It's just so fascinating. You could spend incalculable amounts of time doing it.
Yeah, and so through that, more valuable, we become friends, and my wife and his wife are friends. And, you know, some people, when they have kids' parties, they'll have a clown or a magician or somebody come in. We would have John, and he would entertain all the adults with his stories. He would just, you know, you could hold up a fork, and he'd be like, oh, you know about the fork, and just go on.
One of the areas that I learned from John Czochowski is hockey in this town. Like the first Zamboni, all these things that people here don't know.
Yeah, the Duquesne Gardens, or I don't want to say for sure, but yeah, that, and then the first professional football player, Pudge Heffelfinger, right?
Yeah, who doesn't know Pudge now? Pudge. Thanks to John.
The baseball history here, and he had a very strong campaign for this ice hockey thing with, indoor ice hockey originating in the Pittsburgh area.
Right.
And the other one he spent a lot of time on was how he believes Pittsburgh is the actual birthplace of aviation.
That one really stunned a lot of people. And it was what, Bate Street?
Yeah, no. It was in Oakland. There was a gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he was able to find a newspaper article that said the fire department had to report to this building because an object crashed into it, and it was a plane. It was a rudderless plane, but this guy who lived in the New England area came to Pittsburgh and was here for a few years, and he tested out one of his planes here. But this was before the Wright brothers.
Coming down the street, and it flew actually further than the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk.
Right.
And it happened in Pittsburgh. I think all of us love the firsts that you read about, especially with him, because then he gives you real documentation and background with news articles and stories. And one of the things that also fascinated a lot of people were these tall natives.
9-foot giants.
Yeah. Where'd they go?
He says the Carnegie Museum had skeletons or something like that. And, you know, it just gets into a very, obviously, part of the name is fascinating, but it's stuff that you can't turn away from. And especially us here at KDKA, we love claiming all of our first professional baseball game, boxing. You know, we're the world's first commercial radio station. So we're all on board.
So John went through a pretty horrific health scare, but he is on the mend in a big way.
Yeah, he had this was his third major surgery he had earlier this month, and he was having some issues with his intestines. Very serious. He had to be fed through a tube for a while and couldn't eat solid foods.
Right.
Had a bag, and on earlier this week or this month, he had an ostomy reversal surgery, and it was a complete success. So he is now home and recovering. He says he's feeling, you know, better every day, still dealing with the recovery. It's going to be a long recovery. I mean, that's not something that you get better from in a week or two, something that major. But he is thankful. If you go to Odd Pittsburgh on Facebook, just type in Odd Pittsburgh on Facebook, you'll see if you're able to help out, him and his family with their medical costs. They have some ways that you can do so there. And you can also, you know, not doom scroll, as you said, but just kind of enjoy what he posts. And he hopes to get back into that a lot more as he continues to recover.
Well, we wish him the best. He's a great guy. And I always thought it was fascinating that he's the great-grandson of Tchaikovsky, the great composer.
Another one of his things he's really getting into is genealogy, and he did mine. He found out, he found relatives that served in, that were in the Union in World War, or in the Civil War, which, you know, thank God, it was the Union. And, but just all kinds of, you know, he found how many of my uncles, how they passed away, a lot of heart attacks, so...
How are you feeling?
I feel okay, but when I go to the doctor, I ask a little bit more about my heart.
People are so into the genealogy, and I get it. I've never done that 23andMe thing.
I have.
And what surprised you?
That I was under 3% Portuguese.
That doesn't surprise
me. And the rest of me...
Based on the port wine you're...
Well, the rest of me, I grew up German, Irish, and Scottish, and a lot of that German originated in England. So I'm basically like 98% Irish and English, which explains why I've never had a tan, nor will ever have a tan in my life.
You get a spray tan if you want.
That's true.
All right. Well, well wishes to John Tchaikovsky. And please, if you get a minute on Facebook, check out his site. I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, just type in Odd Pittsburgh, and a picture of an old, gruff-looking guy with an eye patch will come up, and just click on that, and that's one of the great Facebook pages in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that guy. I seen that guy.
Mr. Odd.
Swipe right, you'll see Marty, too. Thank you, Andy. 9:37, this is News Radio KDKA. Coming up, a short show for the Get Marty program as we get ready for the last home game for the Pirates at PNC Park this year. They're going to be in New York in the Bronx, take on the Yankees to close out the 2024 season. And tomorrow night, it is our coverage of Friday Night Lights. We have a great team assembled, Dan Zangrilli, Johnny Lee. We have Donnie Football, and we are thrilled to be able to cover high school football and then basketball after, like we do with the Game of the Week every Friday, powered by Bowser's Chevrolet. And I want to introduce you to a gentleman named Jack Teets, who joins us this morning. Jack, you know all about high school, college, pro football. I want you to tell us about the Tick Clockerty Western chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. You're a big part of this.
Larry, good morning. And thank you.
Yeah, so how did this all begin? Because this has been in existence a long time, but over COVID kind of took a pause, but it's rebuilding, and it's been building ever since. So how did you get involved?
I got involved 20-plus years ago, Larry, in my capacity as a football official for the Big Ten Conference, in the NCAA, and my previous experience as a high school football official here in Western Pennsylvania with a gentleman by the name of Tick Clardy, who was one of the charter members of this Western chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame here in Pittsburgh. We are one of 30 regional chapters of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. We've been around for over 50 years, and we are an independent, member-supported, not-for-profit organization.
Yeah, and you have over 600 local members through the tri-state area, which is incredible.
Right, and those members pay annual dues of $10 to belong to the organization. And I would welcome the listening audience to visit our website, which is www.westernpasportshof.org. And let me repeat that.
No, you don't have to say the WWs anymore. They're nope. Hip to it. You just say WesternPASportsHOF.org, and boom, you're good.
All right, Larry. Thanks for following that up.
And every April, I have been doing that. I'm trying to figure out how long it's been since I emceed this Hall of Fame that you have every April, which is tremendous, celebrating our local sports heroes over the years.
So it's probably been 15 plus years, Larry, that you've been involved on, you know, the Saturdays in April or the first Saturday in May from time to time. But, you know, we have three important and primary functions. And, you know, first, each year, as you indicated, we honor outstanding individuals from the local world of sports. And that includes coaches, athletes, and contributors at the annual dinner and induction ceremony. We generally get between 400 and 500 people to participate, you know, in that dinner. And I'll talk in a few minutes about how we select the folks that we induct. Second, you know, once a month during football season, we provide exposure to local high school teams and players as guests at one of the four Dan McCann Coach's Corner luncheons, which we've taken over as host with the passing of Mr. McCann. You know, we hold these luncheons on the second Tuesday of each month during September through December, and our guests include two high school football teams, one boys soccer team, and one girls soccer team. And then third, we give back to the community by providing a $5,000 annual grant to a local foundation that is affiliated with youth sports here in Western Pennsylvania. And we do that in conjunction with the Bill Campbell Foundation.
And for those that don't know, you have, saying you were a Big Ten official and obviously came up through the ranks in high school, but almost every member I met has some connection to being a referee.
Well, Ted Clardy was a renowned football official and basketball official in Western Pennsylvania for probably, you know, 40 plus years. So he had his imprint on not only the organizations that he belonged to and the officiating groups, but also to the Western chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. He was in charge and ran the programs for probably 30 plus years.
And by the way, the next Dan McCann Coach's Corner Luncheon is coming up a week from Tuesday on October 8th, then one November 12th, December 10th. And on that 10th, by the way, Hall of Famer Steelers coach Dick LeBeau will be a special guest too. This is well worth, since we're so connected to high school sports here, to be a part of. And then in April, April 18th, at the Sheraton on Station Square is the event. And recent inductees, our own Doran Dickerson, Pitt All-American, Swin Cash, Franco Harris. I mean, it's just a who's who. Bob Pompiani, pomp him ain't easy, Jack. George Novak, and Willie Thrower, the first ever black quarterback in the NFL. And it's all right here. It's all local. Go to WesternPASportsHOF.org. Jack Teets, appreciate all you do for the young people of our community. Thanks, partner, and I'll see you on the 8th.
Larry, appreciate that. If I got two more minutes, I don't know, cut me off. But real quick to the listening audience, you know, each year in the fall, the board puts together an annual ballot of approximately 20 well-qualified people for our members to vote on for induction. The 2024 ballot will include folks such as Tunch Ilkin, Mike McCarthy, Shannon Davis, Al Romano, Brandon Short, and 15 or 16 other well-deserving individuals. So I would like to invite everyone in the listening audience to become a dues-paying member before October 31st so that they can vote for our 2025 inductees.
Jack Teets, thank you, brother.
Larry, thank you. Appreciate it. And see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, you got it. That's WesternPASportsHOF.org. Great group of guys helping a lot of kids.
Sitting in my house a couple weeks ago, just relaxing, my doorbell rang. This is weird. It's a different feeling when your doorbell rings today opposed to 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago, your doorbell rang, that was a happy moment in your house. It's called company.
Sebastian Maniscalco tonight at PPG Paints Arena. Guess who's going to be front and center? Marty Griffin. It's all...
My man, I hide from family.
When the doorbell rings.
In my house, I am not lying. I have sat outside, so we have a drive, and then there's a garage. If I know that my in-laws are in the house, I will hide in the car.
You're going to get in trouble.
Until they leave. I'm just keeping it real. I do that with family.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm also famous for the Irish goodbye. Anything we ever go to. No one ever knows when I leave.
Well, you're Irish and Italian. In Italian, they call that the Houdini.
Right.
And the Irish goodbye.
Right. You get hammered and you leave if you're Irish. If I go to any event, station event, you go grab the most important person there, usually you or SPAC. You make sure they see you because then you were there and then you just leave. Boom.
Somebody very, very famous used to do this. Position himself at the entrance, kind of hang out as people were coming in.
Right.
And then leave.
And then you say, I was there all night.
I was there.
It was amazing. What a night.
I saw you.
I hate public events, as you know. They're the worst, especially those little things you do every night, those little charity things you do four times a night.
Oh, last night it was the Pittsburgh Speaker Series. It was 2,600 people in Heinz Hall.
Larry's home so little. The last time he came to the house, Patrick, true story, his granddaughter's there. She opens the door and goes, Mommy, Larry Richards here. It's a damn rather story.
Look for Marty. He's got a short show.
It's a damn rather story.
I know.
He was gone for six months.
I was at the dinner when he told that
Loved
story.
Him.
All right.
We're going all over Florida because, as Larry knows, the connection between Pittsburgh and Florida is massive.
Yeah, this is very real.
And we're going to talk to a significant number of people there. We're also going to check in on this hearing going on right now. The Secret Service is saying we are damn short. And you know what, Larry? They better fix this crap before someone gets killed.
Hurry.
Legit.
All right. Thanks, Marty.